The sun rises behind the Earth. Shafts of bright light shoot up from the surface of the planet and pulsate as it spins in space. In white lettering, the name Universal encircles the center of the globe. www.universalstudios.com.
I get a feeling there's going to be a riot.
In lowercase letters, R and M are joined together. Relativity Media.
I don't read the newspapers because they all have...
Universal Pictures presents, in association with Relativity Media, a Neil H. Moritz production, The Fast and the Furious, Tokyo Drift. Buses pull up at Oro Valley High School. Staff and students mill about, and each person has to pass through a scanner. One of them, a young man in his late teens with short brown hair, is stopped by a security guard. The young man, Sean, a satchel slung over his shoulder, stretches his arms out horizontally, and the guard sweeps a metal detector over him. Sean looks to his left to see a guy in costume also being checked out by a guard. The guy with shoulder-length hair is inside a purple and white duck outfit and is carrying a plastic shield and scimitar. Rows of security monitors display the comings and goings around the high school campus. In a classroom, Sean leans over his desk, scribbling in a notebook, as a teacher writes on a whiteboard at the front. Outside, he carries a tray of food and watches a student cheer the Ducks football team afloat. There are cheerleaders and a tall blonde footballer in a number 13 shirt leading the chanting. Casting by Randy Hiller, CSA, Sarah Halley Finn, CSA, music by Brian Tyler, executive music producer Kathy Nelson, co-producer Amanda Cohen, visual effects supervisor Michael J. Wessel. Costume designer, Sanya Milkovich-Hayes. Edited by Fred Raskin, Kelly Matsumoto. Production designer, Ida Random. Director of photography, Stephen F. Wyndham, ACS. What time is it? In an auto shop, Sean is working under a car. He sees a tubby young Hispanic guy being dragged out by three other guys, a spanner in his left hand. Sean gets up and heads for the door, passing three other seated guys. Standing in the doorway, he sees the tubby young man's wobbling belly is exposed and the others spray-painted. Sean sighs and walks away, tossing down the spanner as he goes. Another day. Executive producer Clayton Townsend. Executive producers Ryan Kavanagh, Linwood Spinks. Produced by Neil H. Moritz. Written by Chris Morgan. Directed by Justin Lin. Outside, a pretty leggy blonde is perched on a convertible next to his 1970 Chevy Monte Carlo.
Nice ride.
Does the job.
What job? Delivering pizzas?
It's not the ride. It's the rider.
The footballer wearing the number 13 shirt steps up.
What the hell's that?
What?
Hey! You talking to my girl?
Oh, shit. Here we go. Yeah.
Well, she was just a mine. My ride.
My ride.
My grandma's Buick could smoke that piece of shit trailer trash.
What about your daddy's Viper?
This beast's got 500 horsepower and a Borla exhaust system. It does 0 to 60 in like 4.3 seconds.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Wow. You can read the brochure.
The footballer glares at Sean, who gets into his Chevy. The blonde girl shrugs when her boyfriend glances at her. Sean drives off and the footballer throws a baseball. It makes a hole in the back windscreen of the Chevy. Students gather round. Sean climbs out of the Chevy Monte Carlo and faces the footballer some 15 meters away. The footballer stands with his buddies beside him. They swagger towards Sean, who slips a hidden spanner into his hand. The footballers stop. Sean grins. The footballer licks his lips and turns his head to the side. All eyes are on him.
Why don't you nice boys let your cars do the talking?
The footballer smiles. Sean.
I only race with pink slips.
This car goes for 80 grand. What would I do with a broken-ass piece of shit like that?
The two guys eyeball each other.
How about me?
They both turn to the blonde.
Winner gets me.
Sean grins broadly. The footballer spits. Whoa, baby. Three of the footballers open the double gates to Shangri-La Estates, a development of houses under construction. Some look finished. but the roads are not yet laid. Cars laden with students sweep inside, followed by a motorbike. Sean buckles on his safety belt.
First one out the other side!
The football is with his girlfriend.
Make it interesting, Claire.
A girl flings her bar into the air. Where it lands, Claire and Sean gun their engines. Their faces grim, the two young men speed past the fallen bra, sending it flying. They race side by side along the street till Clay in his brand new bright red Dodge Viper swerves in front of Sean in his 1970s Chevy Monte Carlo. They reach spectators on a pickup. Clay pulls out level with them and brakes, leaving Sean trailing in the pickup's wake. He swings out, trying to overtake Clay. Clay swerves to block him. Sean sees barrels up ahead. Sean hits them and swings out of control. Clay raises a triumphant fist to his buddies in the pickup. Sean hangs left, then right onto an even less prepared street, running parallel with the one the Viper's on. Clay spots his maneuver and speeds away from the pickup. Behind him, Sean sweeps back onto the same street and moves closer. As they turn a corner, Sean slews into a couple of quarterlies. The Chevy's rear windscreen is splattered with blue flush as the two cars race along the dusty road, a large oil pump in the foreground. The speedometer on the Chevy's dashboard reached 100 mph. Sean shifts up a gear. In his wing mirror, Clay sees him close the gap, then turns left. They both turn left again, this time Sean in a street parallel to Clay. They're level, though the street Sean's on is totally unprepared. He bucks and bumps on the uneven surface while Clay in the Dodge Viper has a much smoother ride. Clay's girlfriend sees Sean move ahead of them.
I thought you loved me.
Clay glares at her, then changes gear. Sean grins, then his face falls when he sees a digger up ahead on the unfinished street.
Oh, well.
He changes direction and heads straight for a house under construction. He charges through it.
What the hell?
He's landed on the street directly behind the Viper. Clay sees him in the wing mirror. Sean draws level. The blonde smiles at him, and he gives her a wink. Clay turns to her.
Guess I got a new date for prom.
Clay's lips form a sulking pout, then he veers the Dodge into the Chevy. He repeats the action. Bits fly from both cars as Clay keeps on bumping the Chevy. The Chevy tips onto two wheels, then back down again. The Dodge moves in front of the Chevy. Sean's bumper catches the tail of the red car and sends it into a spin. The convertible slams head-on into a length of concrete piping lying in the road. One of the spectators has a video camera and sees Sean lose control of the Chevy. It tumbles over repeatedly. Sean buckled inside it, his arms flailing over his head. The Chevy Monte Carlo continues to roll and ends up on its roof. Sean sits trapped in his seat, his hands by the steering wheel, his head touching the semi-collapsed roof. His eyes are open. The three of them sit in a police station, Clay and his girlfriend staring ahead. Sean, with a piece of tissue stuck up one nostril, is on a seat too along from the blonde. She stares at him. He grins, his mouth all bloodied, and winks at her. She turns her bruised face away. Later, the video film of Sean bursting through the house is paused by a detective.
Can I get a copy of that?
The stocky detective turns to Sean.
You think this is a joke? Huh? You see Ken and Barbie over there? They're gonna walk out of here without even a slap on the wrist. Mommy and Daddy are too hooked up.
The detective points to Clay and his girlfriend, then leans close.
I like screw-ups like you. You know why?
because you're 100% guaranteed conviction.
Where's my car?
I crushed it.
You did what?
Sit down.
Easy.
You're done. You understand me? You're done. And all before your 18th birthday. Now sit down.
A brunette is shown in.
Sean. What the hell were you thinking, huh?
Mrs. Boswell, please.
She sits.
It's Mia's. Officer, is it, illegal to smoke in here?
Despite the no smoking sign on the wall, the detective lights Sean's mother's cigarette. She glances at her son.
It's a tough state. It's a pretty clear-cut case. He'll be lucky if they don't try him as an adult.
This is our third town in 2 years.
Your son's got 2 priors for reckless driving, willful destruction of property. This makes it strike 3. They're definitely going to want to get him off the streets.
Well, there's just got to be another way.
Sean sees Clay and the girl being ushered out. Later, he stands in the corridor. His mother and the detective come out. The detective and a uniformed officer walk away.
So where are we moving this time?
Sean's mother stares at him.
We are not moving anywhere.
The cut on his head healed and his teeth cleaned up, Sean sits in an aeroplane. The majority of his fellow passengers are Oriental. The plane touches down in Tokyo, Japan. With a guitar case slung over one shoulder, Sean makes his way up an escalator and steps outside the terminal building. He looks all around, then at his watch. He saunters over to a taxi and gets in. The taxi drives in semi-darkness. Tokyo's towering skyscrapers are silhouetted against an amber sky as the taxi makes its way across a bridge, another layer of traffic passing in the opposite direction overhead. Reclining in the back seat, Sean stares out of the taxi window. Crowds of people mill about the busy streets, which glow with multicolored light, emanating from the neon signs which adorn nearly every building. Sean walks down a bustling narrow street and, looking slightly apprehensive, heads over towards a small house. He drops his bag and presses the doorbell. Sean looks about at his surroundings as he waits outside the opaque screen door. He presses the buzzer again. A handsome 40-something man with grey hair slides back the door.
Sean. I thought you were going to be here on the 7th.
Today is the 7th.
Look, just hold on 1 second.
The man slides the door closed. Sean sighs and shifts impatiently, his jaw set. The door reopens and the man steps out, followed by a young, dark-haired woman in a skimpy purple dress.
Come on, I got them.
The man helps her on with her coat.
Samata.
She goes.
Yeah.
The man looks awkwardly at stony-faced Sean.
Come on in.
Sean follows the man, his father, into the dimly lit house.
This is it.
Sean walks slowly through the cramped and cluttered living area, which doubles up as a kitchen and lounge.
You know, Sean, I was gonna be there. But your mom, she said the 7th, see, and we're a day ahead of you in Japan.
Sean glares at his father.
Well, you're here now. That's good. So, how is your mom?
Where do I sleep?
Well, Sean, you know she had no other choice. I mean, it was either this or Juvie Hall. I mean, you just can't keep moving away every time you get into trouble.
Work for you?
His father smiles.
Look, neither of us asked for this, but I promised your mom I'd take care of you. So you just go by the rules her and I agreed to, and I'm sure you'll manage just fine.
Rules?
Yeah, rules. Real simple. You go to school, you come back here right after, and I don't want to see or hear about you anywhere near a car. Here, the bedroom's yours.
He slides back a door. Sean walks slowly towards the bedroom.
Make yourself comfortable.
Sean looks around the room.
Lights out in 10.
The bedroom is little more than a large cupboard with a single bed and a few rails of clothes squashed into it. Sean drops his bag onto the bed, walks over to the window, and draws back the makeshift curtain. A Japanese woman is eating noodles in the house directly next door. The woman waves at Sean, who nods back, then closes the curtain again. The rising sun casts a hazy glow over early morning Tokyo. Sean's fast asleep in bed. He wakes with a start and sits up, rubbing his eyes. Sean reaches over to a travel alarm clock that's sitting on a chest of drawers, and after fumbling with it for a couple of seconds, closes its brown clamshell-style case. He then notices a navy blue jacket and white shirt hanging from the drawers. Pinned to the front of the jacket, a note reads, "Train to school leaves at 0700. Sean stares at the uniform with a frown.
You gotta be kid.
Where Sean walks along a busy street, a map in his hand. At an underground metro station, he buys a ticket and heads down a set of steps to a platform. There's a station guard pushing a crowd of commuters onto an already packed train. Back on street level again, Sean hurries along the road to his new school. He runs through an avenue of neatly stacked bikes and into a large grey building. Racing along a deserted corridor, he comes to a halt outside a classroom. He removes his bag from across his shoulders and steps inside the room. A female teacher is pointing to a blackboard, her back to the door. As Sean walks towards her, he catches the eye of a pretty girl sitting at a desk on the front row. The teacher turns and sees him.
Wrong train.
Huh?
I'm new here.
Ah, 転校生. Boswell,
Boswell, yes, ma'am.
The teacher bows to Sean, then looks down at his feet in shock. The pretty girl smiles coyly at Sean as he stares in confusion at the teacher. Later, he stands by a row of cubby holes outside the classroom door and takes off his shoes. He takes out a pair of white pumps with a blue rubber sole and nods his head.
Wabaki.
Sean walks back into the classroom in his new indoor shoes, subtly rolling his eyes with a shake of his head as he passes his pretty classmate. In the school canteen, Sean wrinkles his nose at the trays of seafood laid out neatly before him. The students sit at long tables and expertly use chopsticks to eat their lunch. Sean uses his chopsticks to pick up a morsel of food. He examines it carefully for a moment, then pops it into his mouth. A young black guy in a white headscarf walks up to him.
Japanese food is like the army.
Don't ask, don't tell.
He sits down.
Name's Twinkie. Hey, I noticed you ain't have a laptop.
Yeah?
I'll hook you up.
Half price.
Nah, I'm cool.
60% off. Hmm? Since we're both army brats and everything.
I ain't got no cash, man. And I ain't an army brat.
All right, all right. Well, what about a cell phone, huh? Everybody needs a cell phone.
No offense, but I'm probably not going to be here long enough to remember your name.
Then you're going to need some new shoes to book town with, man. You like Michael Jordan? I love Michael Jordan. Check this out. Brand new Jordans. Not even out yet. LeBron James can't even get his hands on those.
Sean spots something else.
You selling a Sparco Stanwell?
Hell no. That's mine right there. When I even pay retail for it.
What you drive?
On my ride?
Yeah.
Yeah, my ride's one of a kind.
Show me.
Thought you weren't sticking around.
Sean purses his lips.
All right.
Later, Sean and Twinkie stand outside a parking lot. They watch as steel doors slide open to reveal a flash car. Sean looks at Twinkie, who shakes his head. The car sits in an open metal cage, which lifts up as another containing a shiny red Lotus Elise takes its place. More expensive cars revolve by. Twinkie's face lights up as a customized bright green minivan with a reversed imprint of a gigantic foot molded into the rear door is backed out. Sean looks over at the excited Twinkie, incredulous. More imprints, like enormous fists trying to punch their way out of the van, are molded onto the side doors. A picture of the Incredible Hulk's face, his mouth open in a ferocious roar, has been painted across the bonnet. A row of bristles has been added to the top as a finishing touch.
Slam it, huh? Look at that car. Oh.
At least let me drive.
Y'all better have some real cars around here.
Okay, I see somebody got jokes, huh? But all right. I don't know if you're ready for them, though. You look a little nervous.
What up, Toast?
Tosh lifts up a barrier and Sean and Twinkie drive into a car park. Sean's face lights up as he sees a multitude of girls in short skirts and skimpy tops standing around chatting or dancing. Dotted around amongst the girls are a selection of souped-up cars, their owners busily checking under their bonnets and polishing their shiny chrome engines. Twinkie throws a box of tissues to Sean, who looks at him, confused.
For when you blow your wad, man.
Sean grins. A couple of young people dance around a bright yellow Nissan Skyline, which has tail lights that resemble large red eyes. The partygoers shake their hips and wave their hands in the air as a DJ spins discs nearby. Sean and Twinkie continue to cruise through the party. Sean watches as a guy in leather jacket slaps his blonde girlfriend on the backside. The couple meld together in a passionate embrace. A girl in a micro miniskirt with a tattoo on her lower back sashays over to join a friend in skimpy denim hot pants. A guy in a silly hat bobs his head to the music. Sean walks amongst the cars, their owners busy at work on their engines. Sean turns as a blue Mazda RX-8 drives into the car park. He smiles as his pretty classmate, Neela, steps out of the car. A tall guy opens the bonnet. Neela walks up to him.
Hey, that? Still not right for the way I drive.
Because the way you drive is wrong, see?
You know, I don't need a computer to tell me about my throttle response.
Okay. Then we're done here.
Sean walks up to Neela.
You wouldn't have that problem with a V8.
Boys, all they care about is who's got the biggest engine.
I'm a guy. It's in my DNA. So y'all race with these things, huh? Cute little toys.
You know, I almost didn't recognize you without your slippers on.
Don't you mean Wabaki? Neela, right?
You're a quick learner.
Neela puts down the bonnet.
So where are you from, anyway?
Here.
No, I mean, not where you live. Where'd you come from?
Does it really matter where I'm from?
A guy with short, spiky hair, DK, watches Neela and Sean from a short distance away. He turns to his friend.
Who's the tortoise?
His friend Han looks at DK.
Let's put you in the school, girls, see? You're moving up in the world. You gotta elevate your company.
Wednesday, you need Thursday. God.
Twinkie spies DK heading over towards Sean and Neela.
Ladies, hold that thought, all right? All right, hold that.
Hi.
He hurries over.
He was just leaving.
I don't know, man.
My God. I'm sorry, I don't speak Japanese.
DK kisses an awkward-looking Neela.
Understand that? Gaiji?
Takashi.
We were just talking.
This isn't your scene.
That word you call me. Gaijin or something or other. What does that mean exactly?
Means turn around. Keep walking. That's exactly what we don't do. Come on, man, let's walk. Look, man, it's Yakuza.
Now see, and that's funny, because I thought this was like a free country, where a girl could talk to whoever she wants.
DK smiles and moves closer to Sean.
You know who I am, boy?
Yeah. You like the Justin Timberlake of Japan, right?
Kinshinaide. Kankinaigara.
Neela turns to Sean.
Leave.
Damn, man! You know Yakuza? The Mafia? Look, sorry, DK-san. Monkey didn't have his banana today.
Hey, D, let's go. It's time to race.
DK and his mates start to walk away.
Good luck, Timberlake.
With a grin on his face, DK turns back to Sean and steps up close to him so that their faces are inches apart.
You're the one that's lucky. Tell me what it is.
The two men eye each other.
Then let's race.
With what, huh? Your skateboard? Easy to sound cocky when you got no ride.
Take mine.
Han throws his car keys to Sean, who smiles at DK.
Let's race.
DK turns and gives Han a look.
What? I want to see what the kid's got.
Han grins at Sean. In a lift.
Can he drive?
Can he drive? You know what DK stands for?
Donkey Kong.
Drift King.
Sean gawks.
Drift. What do you mean, drift?
Sean and Twinkie stand by the open lift doors and watch open mouth as two cars screech by at 45-degree angles, their wheels sliding across the concrete as if on ice.
Still need a dictionary? You know that real famous painting? The one and the woman who's smiling all the time?
The Mona Lisa.
Right, Mona Lisa. Well, look, man, this car right here is like the Mona Lisa of the drift world. Han rebuilt this bad boy from ground up. We talking four-inch pistons. Bigger turbo, new rods, new crankshaft. Hey, man, Han's labor ain't cheap, man, you feel me?
Sean looks anxious.
If I needed a 30-second lesson on how to drift.
All right, look, man, there's lots of ways you can do this, all right? Hand braking is the easiest, so the first thing I want you to do, I want you to rip that e-brake. All right, after you rip the e-brake, then I want you to power over.
Sean gapes at Twinkie.
You know what? Just don't mess up Mona, all right?
Twinkie goes. As Sean does up his safety harness, he notices Neela and DK standing nearby. Neela looks at her boyfriend lovingly, then walks away with a flirtatious backwards glance. Twinkie walks past Han and shakes his head. Han, who's sitting with a group of girls, pops a snack into his mouth with a bemused grin. Sean raises his window and looks across at DK, who's now sitting in his car, parallel to Mona Lisa. DK revs his engine and looks ahead, a confident expression on his face. A guy in a black suit and white open-necked shirt walks in front of the two cars. He stamps out a cigarette and looks at the two drivers. The guy smiles and gestures with his hands.
Yokoso.
Sean and DK stare determinedly ahead. The guy points to a girl.
Ready.
And to another.
Setta.
The suited guy grins.
Go!
The two cars zoom off, crowds of people excitedly spilling out into the lane behind them. Sean streaks ahead of DK and glances back at his cool and confident opponent with a cocky smile, which fades as he sees a corner up ahead, marked out by orange traffic cones. He grimaces as he swings the car around, spectators scattering as he smashes sideways into a concrete pillar. Sean watches as DK effortlessly drifts past him in a perfect arc. Sean sets off again. The crowds of onlookers start to head for the lift. One passes Han.
I told you!
Sean in Han's blue and orange 2001 Nissan Silvia S15 tears after DK's dark grey 2002 Nissan Fairlady 350Z. DK's friend, Morimoto, stands by the open doors of a crowded lift. He stops a couple from getting into the lift and beckons Neela inside. The doors close. Still in the lead, DK spins the 350Z sideways around another tight bend, its back bumper inches away from the wall. Sean prepares to take the bend too, but slams sideways into the wall. Sparks fly as he sets up again. A grin on his face, Twinkie runs into a lift filled with pretty women. In a fluid motion, DK arcs around another bend. The more erratically driven 350Z speeds after it. DK takes another bend and zooms up a ramp. DK puts his foot down, his calm expression unfaltering, as he seamlessly curves around the car park. He spins the car around 180 degrees and comes to a halt, a smug look on his face as he waits for Sean to catch up. Sean spins around the corner and loses control. He smashes straight into a parked car. DK watches with a sneer. Sean looks over at DK, who cockily sticks his hand out of his open window and beckons Sean to him. Sean eyes DK steadily. DK glares back at him with a self-satisfied smirk before reversing the 350Z, spinning around, and taking off again. A determined Sean sets off after him. DK heads towards a narrow ramp. Smoke rises from the tyres as the 350Z glides almost sideways up the semicircular ramp. The onlookers cheer as he races to the top. The large crowd clap and cheer as DK whirls around and stops in front of them. Twinkie purses his lips and nods his head impressed. The partygoers run over to the stationary vehicle and surround it. A grinning Morimoto walks over to his buddy. DK smiles and playfully paws at Morimoto's head before making his way towards Neela, who's standing nearby, arms folded. Sean drives the S15, its back spoiler bent, its front bumper and other parts of the bodywork hanging off, up the ramp. The crowds disperse as the once impressive car drives onto the roof and comes to a standstill. Twinkie gapes in utter disbelief. Morimoto busts out laughing. Han stares at his car with only a hint of emotion. Twinkie walks past Sean and shakes his head. DK has an arm around Neela. Sean watches as they walk away. Han leans in towards him.
Don't leave town.
Later, Sean quietly slides open the front door to his father's house. Mr. Boswell is sitting in an armchair waiting for him, a bottle of beer in his hand. Several empties sit on a side table next to him. Sean steps inside.
Do you know what time it is?
I thought it was around 7 o'clock. You know, U.S. is a few hours behind.
Mr. Boswell nods.
Looks like the party was better here anyway.
Mr. Boswell stands up and faces his son.
Have you been racing, Sean?
Sean stares guiltily at his father, who nods.
You're out of here.
Mr. Boswell picks up a cordless phone.
Go ahead.
Mr. Boswell grabs him.
You don't get it, do you? You have nowhere else to go. If it doesn't work out here, you're going to jail. Do you get that?
The two men eye each other steadily.
This isn't a game. And I'm going to tell you one more time. If you're going to live under my roof, you're going to go by my rules or get out. Understand? Understand!
Yes, sir.
Shame-faced, Sean heads towards his bedroom and slides the door shut. His concerned father watches him go. Sean stands out amongst a sea of Japanese faces as he solemnly makes his way to school. Once there, he endures the stares of his fellow students as he walks along the drab grey corridors to his classroom. Later, as he walks out of the schoolyard, he looks up to see Han, his hands in his pockets, leaning against a vivid orange and black 94 Mazda RX-7 that's parked across the street. Sean apprehensively makes his way over.
Get in.
I'll get you your money.
Why are you talking like you have a choice?
Han walks over to the passenger door of the left-hand drive vehicle and gets in. Later, the RX-7 pulls up outside a building on a sunny street.
There's a guy in there with a paw that owes me some money.
A paw?
Who gave me my money?
Sean ponders for a moment.
Okay.
He gets out of the car and walks towards the building, which has a tiled pitched roof and a large Japanese symbol painted onto the wide doors. A guy standing at a counter near the door calls to Sean as he steps cautiously inside. In a communal shower room, rows of shower heads are placed at waist height on wooden frames. Men sit in front of them on low stools and wash themselves, white towels covering their modesty. Sean walks into the room wearing only a towel. He looks over to a large bath at one end of the room, where two men are relaxing. Sean shifts nervously, then makes his way towards one of the men, a heavily overweight man who has a tattoo of a beast and its paw on his back and shoulder.
Some of them are saying.
The man ignores him.
Han said, oak candy.
The huge guy who has enormous man breasts stands up and faces Sean.
Han said, oak
Ogni.
The man raises his bear-like arms. Back in his own clothes, Sean is thrown from the building. He sits on the road and frustratedly hits the tarmac. He gets up and goes back inside, only to be forcefully evicted once again. The guy reaches into his bathrobe. He throws a roll of banknotes to Han, who's leaning against the RX-7. Han throws his car keys to Sean.
Let's go.
Dusk. Against a burnt orange sky, the RX-7 speeds across Tokyo's Rainbow Suspension Bridge.
You're in the pickup and delivery business now. I might call you once a week or once an hour. I don't care if you're sick as a dog or in bed with Beyonce. I call, you show.
Only if you teach me how to drift.
This ain't a negotiation.
I wasn't negotiating.
Han smiles and shakes his head. A large pink neon sign outside a garishly decorated building advertises Pachinko. The RX-7 pulls up outside it, and Han and Sean get out. They walk into the building where people sit at rows of slot-type machines, playing something that resembles vertical pinball. In a back room, DK, Morimoto, and two other men sit around a green baize table playing Mahjong.
Kong!
Han and Sean are shown in.
What the?
DK and Morimoto smirk at the newcomers.
Hi.
DK gestures to the other two men to leave. A couple of girls in the room leave as well. DK stares up at Han.
What's he doing here? He's paying me back for that crumpled beer can sitting in my garage.
Hope he's not driving, huh?
Morimoto addresses Sean.
Gaijin! When is the next racer? I'd really like to be there.
Why not be in it?
Morimoto, you're really a badass cowboy. You just talk like one.
You heard me.
Ready to do this another car, hon? I'm ready to take that 86 Corolla off your hands.
DK laughs.
All right. Put up the 72 Skyline. Done. What do you think, Morimoto, huh?
Morimoto puckers up his lips.
Get him out of here. We got business to discuss.
Han nods at Sean, who leaves the room. Morimoto and DK start to clear the Mahjong tiles off the table. Han sits down.
Your shipment's late. Since when are you so worried about the details?
DK eyes him.
When is the shipment arriving, Han? Just sit pretty and let me handle it. Gosh! Yaruka!
Outside the pachinko parlor, Sean walks over to a payphone. He lifts up the lurid green receiver and begins to dial.
Hey, Dad, it's me. I had to stay after school for some extracurricular activities. So I'll be home a little later.
Neela walks towards him.
Sir.
He smiles at her.
You really need to stop following me around.
What are you doing here?
I thought I'd stop by and ask your boyfriend for some drifting lessons.
Trust me, you don't want to be a part of this world.
What's good enough for you?
You don't know anything about me.
But why don't you think I know? Because I'm a gaijin, an outsider? Let me guess. You're an army brat who moved around a lot. Your mom and daddy was never home. So you walked around pissed off all the time. And now you found your family with these drift nuts.
She regards him for a moment, then shakes her head.
Zero for one, cowboy.
Neela walks away. She heads towards the pachinko parlor, passing Han on his way out. Sean walks back over to the car.
Can't you go find a nice Japanese girl like the rest of the white guys around here?
The RX-7 speeds along a highway. Sean in the driver's seat.
Is everything okay back there?
I can have a decay.
I thought he's Yakuza.
His uncle's Yakuza. He's just playing gangster in his little storage room.
Sean looks back at the road.
Well, I need him. He keeps Uncle Kamada from poking around too much.
What do you mean?
Well, his uncle gets a piece of the action from everyone on his turf. on its turf. 50% of something is better than 100% of nothing.
Sean licks his lips.
So have you raced DK? Why not? Is he that good?
What's the point of a race?
See if I'm better than the other guy.
Just proves you're faster, that's all. If I were to race, it would have to be for something important. Now why else do it at all?
Sean ponders.
But why are you letting me race?
That's your DK's kryptonite. And you owe me a car.
A blue Nissan Skyline whizzes past them. The two men share a look. Han raises his brows at Sean, who grins and flicks a switch next to a canister of nitrous oxide. The RX-7 shoots forwards like a rocket, overtaking the Skyline. Sean spots a police car. The police speed gun reads 197 km/h. Sean checks his rearview mirror. The police haven't moved.
What the?
Police cars are only factory tuned. You can do better than 180 km/h, they can't catch you. So they don't even try.
Sean grins broadly.
You know what? I'm beginning to like this country already.
Sean presses his foot down on the accelerator and the RX-7 speeds off into the night. Later it pulls up in a dingy back street. Sean and Han get out of the car. Han calls to a guy sitting outside a nightclub.
Danny! Oh, you're looking good. Hey.
Sean follows Han inside.
Let's go.
People dance or stand drinking at the bar in the dimly lit club.
Let's go.
Sean follows Han through the dancing throng and to the back of the club. They walk through a door and along a dark, grubby, winding corridor.
Uh-oh. Easy now, ladies.
They pass two women snogging.
Come on.
They enter another part of the club. A couple of attractive brunettes walk over to Han and greet him with hugs and kisses. Sean stands behind him and gapes at the room of gorgeous girls in disbelief. A smile spreads across his face. As he makes his way further into the room, a couple of girls drape themselves over him.
Keep your hands off the kid, girls. He's underage.
Twinkie.
Ladies, ladies, ladies! Disneyland for grown-ups, huh? All these girls, man, they look like... What, models? Check it out. See, Tokyo is the fashion capital on this side of the planet. Right now, imagine you've been posing all day. That's a lot of hard work. Not only do you get tired, but on top of that, you want to have a little fun, but you can't, because you don't even know nobody in town. And most of the guys around here are too chicken shit to even try picking up on. So what do you do?
Sean shakes his head.
Man, you talk to the little dude who makes you laugh. Yeah. Look, man, I don't just think outside the box. I tear it up. It's my thing. Yo! Americano Snickers, so she ain't.
Twinkie goes. Han calls out to Sean.
Sean!
Sean follows Han and his two female companions through another door. They walk out into a large garage where a multitude of shiny, expensive motor vehicles are on display. Sean's face lights up and he smiles in delight as he takes in the luxurious sight. On a mezzanine level, people sit around drinking and chatting. A block of six capsule-style bedrooms sits at one end of the mezzanine. A girl in black tight-fitting PVC trousers and a skimpy bra top climbs into one of them. Han pours a glass of champagne and shouts down to Sean, who's standing next to a red 06 Mitsubishi Evo 9.
The red Evo's yours.
Sean stares up at Han with a confused frown. He turns round and gazes down at the car in awe, then looks back up at Han, who's standing on the mezzanine with the girls.
What do you mean?
You're representing me now. What you think, I'm gonna let you roll in a Hyundai?
Sean looks back down at his car. On a jetty at Tokyo's waterfront, two locals are fishing using rod and line. Their peace and quiet is shattered. Sean swings the red Mitsubishi Evo round in an attempt to drift and slams into creels. Twinkie and a few others groan. Sean tries again. He turns the wheel, slams on the brakes, then turns the wheel the other way. A fisherman comments, "You call that drifting?" Sean tries again.
My mother, she's blind in one eye and she can shift better than that.
Han and his friend Earl watch.
Han, where did you find this guy? Will someone please teach this guy to drift?
Pallets are crashed into and still Sean perseveres. Day. Sean walks out of his father's house, his satchel over his shoulder. He looks across the street and sees his father in a workshop, a wrench in his hand, working on an old car. He crosses, passing an old lady. Sean nods and turns to his father.
Is that yours?
Sure is.
The stripped-down car is a 1967 Ford Mustang. Sean walks up to it and slips his satchel off.
What happened?
I don't know. I found it this way at the base.
Sean examines the engine.
That's got potential.
Major Boswell turns a spanner, then straightens up and looks around.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
The Major narrows his eyes.
You know, Sean, the Japanese have a saying. Deru kui wa utareru. The nail that sticks out gets hammered. You're gonna be late.
Sean pulls a face, then tears himself away. His father glances up briefly, then returns his attention to the Mustang. Sean's leaving class.
Sean!
Earl and a female student, Reiko, hustle him away. Up on the roof, Twinkie is being beaten by DK's sidekick, Morimoto. Two of the gang shove Twinkie at Morimoto. The blonde youth punches Twinkie in the guts. Morimoto tugs off his jacket and shouts at Twinkie. That's for selling me a broken iPod.
Come on, man, broke it.
Sean walks over and steps between Twinkie and Morimoto.
Hello! There must be a misunderstanding.
Out of my way. What's your name?
Take it easy.
Hey, look, man, I don't do refunds, all right? Okay, let's go!
Morimoto pushes Sean. Neela's come onto the roof. Sean takes out his iPod.
Try not to break this.
Neela watches closely as Sean holds the iPod up in front of Morimoto, who takes it, then facing Twinkie, takes his closed fist up to his mouth. Morimoto smirks at Sean, turns, nods to his gang, and swaggers away.
Say, man, what the hell is wrong with you, huh? Now everybody's going exchanges around here. Damn!
Twinkie walks away from Sean, as does Earl and all the other students up on the roof, with the exception of Neela. Sean saunters across to her in the sunshine.
Not easy saving the day, is it?
Maybe you can give me some pointers sometime.
You're doing all right.
Thanks.
Smiling, she nods, then turns for the door.
Hey.
She looks back.
Yeah.
Sorry about the other night. Your life isn't any of my business.
It's okay.
She walks off, smiling. Sean grins. Tokyo at night. On a rooftop in the middle of the city, a football field is lit up. Twinkie is kicking the ball around with Earl and a few others. Earl falls to the ground.
What I look like, a zebra?
Han is up on a gantry overlooking the pitch. He strolls over to Sean, who's gazing out over the city.
So how'd you end up over here anyway?
Well, you know those old westerns? The cowboys make a run for the border?
Sean nods his head.
This is my Mexico.
Why'd you let me race with your car? You knew I was gonna wreck it.
Why not?
Cause it's a lot of money.
I have money. It's trust and character I need around me. And who you choose to be around you, let you know who you are. And one car in exchange for knowing what a man's made of. That's a price I can live with.
Sean stares at the older man, who looks down at the streets.
Look at all those people down there. They follow the rules for what? They're letting fear lead them.
What happens if I don't?
Life's simple. You make choices and you don't look back.
The neon lights twinkling in the background, Sean gazes thoughtfully ahead and swigs from a bottle of water. They stand leaning on the railing high up in the Tokyo skyline.
So if you don't drift to win, what do you drift for?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Above three horizontal streetlights is a sign for Gaien and Shibuya. On the street below, a silver Nissan Skyline GTR draws to a halt. The two girls inside it watch as an orange and black veil-side Mazda RX-7 driven by a Han, with Sean in the passenger seat, screeches round a corner, then moves up beside them. Han drifts the veil-side round the Nissan in sweeping circles. Smoke from the tires and the exhaust create a ring around the silver and blue car like a donut, with the Nissan in the center. Han stops his car and the two vehicles sit facing each other, but not head-on. Sean glances at Han, then, like his driver, gazes across at the two smiling women. The passenger writes in a notepad. As Han cruises past, the driver hands the note to him. He moves down the street, the Nissan turns to follow. The two men stare at each other, Sean grins. Another day on a mountain road.
There's no wax on, wax off for drifting. Learn by doing it. The first drifters invented drifting out here in the mountains by feeling.
So feel it.
Sean attempts a drift round a hairpin bend. He screeches along the dusty road in the red Mitsubishi Evo. Han and his gang are watching at a corner.
Again!
Sean and Twinkie are crowded street.
What's in his bag?
You'll see.
Oh, shit. How much you got? Keep going, keep going.
They sell clocks on chains.
Oi! So good, man, I can sell rubber some more.
On the mountain road, the training continues under Han's supervision.
Again!
Twinkie and Sean leave the school with Earl and the other students. Sean is in Han's workshop. He watches Han and DK in another room. He sees Han hand over a wad of cash to DK, who looks up and sees Sean watching him. DK pushes the door shut. On the mountain road, more drift training.
Again!
On the street... Twinkie and Sean sell shoes. Han's in Sean's passenger seat.
Watch it, watch it. Not too early now.
Sean takes the car into a controlled drift.
Go, 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 go.
They're back down at the waterfront. The same two fishermen keep a keen eye on them. They look at each other and smile. Not bad. They move to the mountain road, gear change, handbrake on, and drift. Sean's getting it. Night. Major Boswell arrives home and switches on the light. He's still in uniform with his cap in his hand. He tosses the cap down and crosses to Sean's room. He opens the door and turns on the light in the bedroom. He sees Sean's empty bed and grits his teeth. At Han's place, Han's playing Mahjong.
Hey, Han.
Hey, Han, take a look at this. Han crosses to the woman. You have a visitor. Han looks down to see Sean. Leaning on a rail, Han turns.
Hey, Twink. Get this man a bunk.
On the mountain road, Sean's Mitsubishi Evo is in a head-to-head with Han in his veil-side Mazda RX-7. Han manages to keep in front of Sean, but the youngster slips in on the inside at a left-hand turn. Night. Sean drives through an underpass and ends up on a road beside the Rainbow Suspension Bridge. He races through the multi-story car park, weaving his way around the corners, this time in a head-to-head with Morimoto, who's driving his Nissan Fairlady 350Z. Sean drifts round a pillar ahead of Morimoto. He makes his way up the ramp to the car park rooftop where the crowds are waiting. Mila is among the spectators, her eyes widen as she watches Sean do a victory drift spin. Morimoto slowly drives up to the rooftop. His face contorted, Morimoto petulantly hammers his hands against the steering wheel. DK, his face stony, strolls away from Neela, and as he passes Han, he drops a set of keys in his hand.
How's he doing business?
Sean's Evo is surrounded by adoring fans. He gets out and is greeted by Twinkie. There's a warm smile on Neela's face. At school. The students all sit at desks with laptops. An instant message flashes on Neela's. It opens and she reads the note from Bama Boy. How come I never see you drift? She types a reply, then hits the enter key. Sean's at his laptop. Neela's screen name is in Japanese. Her reply in English read, because he never asked. They sit together in the cafeteria eating with chopsticks.
It's actually not bad. I didn't even have to put ketchup on it. See, I'm not a total gajian.
I hate that word. It's what they used to call me when I was a kid.
I thought you were born here.
Well, outside it can mean many different things.
Sean sips a drink from a can, then studies Neela's face intently.
My mum died when I was 10. She came out here from Australia when she finished high school. And all I know about her is that she went to work in a hostess bar.
Sean's gaze is unwavering.
DK's grandmother took me in.
Well, my parents split up when I was 3. Me and Mom moved around a lot. Mostly because of me. Well, it was all because of me. Kind of made myself an outsider, you know, without even thinking about it. But I realize now, outsider or insider, it doesn't really matter. All that matters is knowing what you really want. And going after it.
Night. A convoy of cars eases its way up the mountain road. Neela's at the wheel of her Mazda RX-8 with Sean sitting beside her. The whole posse drifts round one bend after another.
We used to come up here when we were kids. Even before we could drive, we'd cut class, sneak out, come up here and watch the older kids drift.
Neela proceeds into a drift with the minimum of effort.
Things were different back then. Once I got my license, I practically lived up here. Back then, kids just drove whatever they had. And we just made do. No one bothered us.
The day I got my license, it's the day I got my first speeding ticket. The day after that, I won my first race. I beat this rich kid by 3 lengths. I gotta admit, it felt good. It felt like...
like everything else just disappears.
No past, no future.
No problems. Just the moment.
The lights of the city twinkle in the distance behind them. Sean's in his Evo down at the waterfront. Han and the gang are sitting by their cars in the sunshine, paying Sean not much attention.
Boy needs a cheer.
Sean points to his tires.
Hey, Twink, I'm gonna grab another set.
Whoa! Another set? No. Look, that was your third set today. I mean, them tires ain't cheap.
Everyone looks round at DK's Nissan Fairlady, and two other cars screech to a halt beside them. DK strides towards the gang.
DK, grab a chair. We're about to roast some marshmallows.
Yo, come on, man.
DK punches Sean to the ground. Everyone watches as DK lays into Sean. Cut on his left eye and mouth, Sean stares up as DK leans over him.
Stay away from her, or the only thing you'll be driving is a wheelchair. Wakattaka?
He passes Han.
Find yourself a new driver.
Muramoto spits at Twinkie and swaggers away. Reiko and the others run over to Sean on the ground. His face stiff, DK swings his shoulders as he marches back to his car.
I'm all right.
What'd you expect? You didn't just play with fire, you soaked the matches in gasoline.
At the school, students lock their bicycles up on stands. Neela is with a group of female students when she sees Sean strolling. She sees the bruises around his eye and on his cheek and mouth. Neela barges into DK's office.
It's over.
DK and the two women with him stare at her.
Chotto, asonde koyo.
One of the women passes money to DK and she and the other woman leave. Morimoto, standing behind Neela, smooths his hair, stares at Neela, then follows the woman out. DK looks up.
Orders of a gaijin.
I am a gaijin. You've changed, DK.
DK, his eyes fixed on her, walks round his desk.
You say I've changed. But we're not so different, you and I. We're both products of screw-ups, aren't we?
He stands facing her and leans a hand on a wall partition.
They say your mom was the best trick in all of Kabukicho back in the day.
Leave my mother out of this.
If we hadn't taken you in, you'd be just like her, doing anything for a buck.
Think anyone would take a second look at you if it wasn't for your uncle.
He forces her back, then presses his forehead against hers. DK looks at Neela closely, steps back a little, then places his hand round the back of her neck.
We're the same, Neela.
She shakes her head.
Difference is I know who I am and where I belong.
She blinks and a tear rolls down her cheek.
Do you know who you are? Do you know where you belong?
Sean, Reiko and Earl are working on the underside of Sean's car, which is up on an inspection platform. He turns and sees Neela ambling towards them. Han looks up as Sean crosses over to her.
Hey.
He sees her tear-stained face. A black Mercedes saloon with tinted windows pulls up at the pachinko parlor. A couple of mean-faced heavies get out. One, a young man with spiky hair, opens the front passenger door. Someone with shiny shoes and immaculately pressed trousers steps out. Morimoto shows the heavies into DK's dimly lit office where people are playing mahjong. The gamblers leave hurriedly. DK gets up from a large leather chair, goes to a desk and takes something from it. The heavies form a guard of honor for the shiny-shoed man, who enters wearing a Panama hat and a flowing cream overcoat. DK faces him and bows. Uncle, a heavy hands Uncle a ledger. Uncle Komata, I was just about to go see you. Have you been well?
Hi.
Yes, here's last week's take. Komata strolls. Business good?
Hi.
Please. DK motions to the big leather chair at his desk. Komata, elderly with a dark moustache, sits and smiles, then opens the ledger his heavy handed him. To tell the truth, Komata taps a page. I look over these printouts of yours, and I don't understand half of what I'm looking at. DK beams. It looks more complicated than it is. Kamata's smile fades. Then how is it even I am able to figure out that your partner is stealing from us? DK falters slightly and reaches for the ledger. Even if that were true, it couldn't have been much, Uncle. I would have caught it. Uncle ponders. There's an old saying, for want of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. For want of a horseshoe, The steed was lost. For want of a steed, the message was not delivered. For want of an undelivered message, the war was lost. Kamata's piercing dark eyes look sad as they stare out from beneath the brim of his hat. DK hangs his head solemnly. Standing now, Kamata picks up a framed photograph from the desk and studies it. I miss your father. DK stands stiffly in the gloom and stares ahead. Kamata puts down the photo, then, hands in coat pockets and head bowed, walks slowly out of the office. Tears roll down DK's cheeks, and he wears a resentful expression. Sean sits having a cup of tea. He sips from his cup and his eyes meet with Neela's. She holds his gaze, then, hearing cars, turns to look over her shoulder. Han, working beneath a car on a ramp, turns to see DK and Morimoto arrive. The men hurry out of their cars. Neela exchanges an anxious look with Sean, and they rise from their seats. Nearby, Twinkie gives them a questioning look. Han smiles and opens his arms in greeting to DK as he strides up.
Hey, brother.
I thought for you. From a reputation on the line for you. We're partners. You think you keep your side deals from me?
Come on. It ain't the Boy Scouts. It's what we do.
Takashi!
Neela and Sean hurry onto the workshop floor. DK draws a gun on Han. Observers duck.
What about now? Is this what we do?
And you need me. You'd still be shaking down tea houses for chum change if it wasn't for me.
Takashi, yamete!
Rute!
Twinkie lowers roller doors. The noise distracts DK. Han knocks the gun from his hand and whacks him. Sean slugs Morimoto.
Get in!
Young couples scatter and run.
Come on!
Neela and Sean take off through the garage in the Evo. Han's in his Mazda. Morimoto jumps out in front of Sean, who stops. Morimoto kicks the Evo bonnet. Sean runs into him. Morimoto rolls over the bonnet and roof. Sean speeds off, drifting around concrete pillars in the huge garage. DK and Morimoto run to their cars, get in, engage gear, and take off. Han swerves sharply to avoid T-boning Sean, then both cars zoom away. Now in a dark car park, the 350 and 350Z are in hot pursuit, their tails drifting as they round pillars. The Evo and the Mazda speed along. DK wears an expression of grim determination as he drops a gear. They power slide into a city street, then up a side road. With the Mazda and Evo marginally in front, they head up a main street with several lanes of traffic. The cars weave perilously in and out of the traffic. Now in a wide, brightly lit tunnel, the cars continue to speed weave through traffic, which is traveling in both directions. Morimoto yells out. Neela sits tensely beside Sean. Morimoto drops a gear and accelerates towards the Evo. He rams the back of the Evo. Moving alongside the Evo, Morimoto rams into the side of it repeatedly. Morimoto's eyes suddenly open wide in horror. An oncoming car smashes into him, then others careen into the wreckage. Sean glances back at the carnage and drives on after Han. The pileup continues. DK grimaces at the scene and chases on. His speedo reads 90. The Mazda power slides onto a main street, followed by the Evo, then the 350. They streak up a freeway bordered by brightly lit skyscrapers. The Mazda emerges out of an underpass into a broad city street. Han looks calm but focused. The others follow. DK's speedo registers 110. As they weave through traffic again, Neela looks back anxiously at DK gaining on them. He rams their tailwind. the car's parked to avoid traffic ahead. The Evo sneaks in front, but the 350 catches up and rams it again. Han looks in his rearview mirror and sees the 350 barging the Evo. Han slams on his brakes and blocks the 350, allowing the Evo to speed on. DK's features darken and he accelerates. Han steps on the gas. Sean looks in his wing mirror and watches the Mazda duel with the 350, which is gaining.
Sean!
He turns his attention back to the road ahead. Hundreds of people on a crossing further up the broad city street see the Evo speeding towards them and hurriedly separate to make way. In slow motion, the Evo side slides, avoiding the pedestrians, then power slides round a bend. The Mazda and the 350 follow. Back at full speed, DK changes down and glares determinedly ahead. The Evo rounds a corner. Han wrestles to hold onto the wheel as the Mazda, tires smoking, slides sideways round a bend. The 350 catches up. DK, his mouth downturned, wears a sneer as the 350 and the Mazda spin and waltz. DK shoots at Han. Han ducks. Sean checks the action behind him, then weaves to avoid traffic ahead. The Evo's hit side-on and careers into parked cars where it comes to rest. The 350 and the Mazda are nose-to-nose, the Mazda being pushed back. DK fires at Han. Han swings the car away, but as he does so, is hit by another car. Sean watches as the Mazda is shunted along by the other car, then rolls. Sean and Neela, beside the wrecked Evo, gape. The crumpled wreck of the Mazda is on its roof, with Han hanging upside down in his seat. Petrol drips dangerously near flames which are licking round the chassis. Sean runs to help. Sean ducks away as the Mazda explodes in a ball of fierce yellow flames. DK, his lip curled, watches the scene, then drives away. In a dreamlike sequence, Neela runs to Sean, who stands looking shell-shocked and gazing at the blazing wreck. She pulls him away. Holding hands, they run down tiled steps to a subway. A gleaming steel train pulls in and the couple get on it. As the train moves slowly through the city night, they sit glumly, Sean staring out of the window, Neela beside him. Sean and Neela call at his father's. They stand waiting in the darkness and exchange a long and meaningful look. They're caught in DK's headlights as he pulls up.
Takashi!
Get in, DK says to Neela. Sean smashes him in the face. They struggle and DK draws his gun.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Major Boswell has a gun to the back of DK's head. DK freezes, his gun still pointing at Sean's forehead. Neela's eyes flit around anxiously.
Okay. I'll go with you.
Neela.
The guns remain pointed while Neela goes to get into DK's car. Sean and DK eyeball each other.
See you when Daddy's not around.
Still with his gun raised, DK backs away to his car and gets in. Major Boswell's gun is still raised at DK. Boswell lowers his gun as DK drives off.
I'm putting you on a plane tonight.
Dad.
Sean, don't argue with me.
I did this. I can't run away. I can't.
Sean, I'm your father. I'm responsible for your well-being.
And I'm responsible for my mess. I gotta do this. Can you understand that?
Father and son hold each other's gaze. Major Boswell's eyes glisten slightly with tears. Then he smiles tightly and walks to one side.
At least you're not redoing my mistakes.
Sean looks into his father's eyes and gives a faint nod before turning away and walking into the night. A sad-looking Major Boswell watches him go. Sean is standing on a dark street corner when Twinkie pulls up. He gets out of the car and walks slowly towards Sean.
You all right, man?
Sean nods.
We're leaving town. Look, I know some people.
I can't do it, Twink.
Look, DK wants your head, all right? And the trouble you just made for Kamada, it's done here, bruh.
Maybe I should talk to Kamada.
What?
DK answers to him.
I know I just didn't hit it.
I gotta end this. I'm gonna go talk to him.
What, are you crazy? Huh? Han is dead, all right? Plus, you can't just walk into Kamada's place, man.
Sean ponders, stony-faced.
That's all I got.
Twinkie chews his bottom lip and looks away resignedly. He goes to open the tailgate of his car.
Something I think Han would have wanted you to have.
Twinkie takes a screwdriver out of the tailgate, prizes a speaker out of a casing in the boot, and pulls a bag from the casing. He hands the bag to Sean.
What's this?
You're gonna need it if you're gonna make it out of Kamada's place alive.
Sean pulls out wads of money.
Don't you need it?
It's cool. Look, I figured out.
A Chinese lantern hangs outside a takeaway in a street dotted with lights. Steam gushes out as Sean walks past the takeaway and into a crowded alley. A group of heavies carrying bamboo koshes gather round him and lead him along the dimly lit way. Some of the men wear ornately embroidered tops. The group head towards a line of Kamata's henchmen, who bar their way. Sean speaks to the men.
Kamata-san.
I want to see Kamata, please. Sean bows and hands over the bag of money to a henchman. The man, a cigarette between his lips, looks inside the bag. Sean remains impassive as the other henchmen check the bag, then stare at him inscrutably. The heavies take Sean into a large crowded bar with subdued lighting and seating areas divided into booths. They direct him towards a shaven-headed man in a suit and patterned shirt who leads him through a bar. Neela is sitting beside DK and Kamata.
Sean.
She goes over to him. DK scowls and follows.
You need to leave.
You came to the wrong place.
I didn't come here to see you.
Kamata.
Takashi.
Who's your friend? Nobody. I can handle this.
Kamata-san.
Sean, I have something which belongs to you, sir. Sean tries to approach Kamata, but a heavy stops him with a hand on the chest and takes the money bag from him. The heavy takes it to Kamata, opens it slightly for him to look inside, then places it on the low table in front of Kamata.
You think you can walk in here, dump some cash, and walk out?
I know I'm only returning what belonged to you in the first place, sir.
Kamata puffs on a cigar.
That's not why I really came. I came here to apologize. I know your nephew and I have embarrassed ourselves badly.
DK approaches. Don't listen to this, Gaijin. Takashi, after everything you've done, you're giving me orders? I apologize. DK bows.
Sir, I'm here to offer you a peaceful solution.
DK looks daggers at Sean.
How do you plan to accomplish that?
A race. DK and I have caused nothing but problems for you. For us. I'm asking you to allow us to settle this once and for all. We race. And the loser leaves town for good.
I already beat this piece of shit once.
Good. They should be easy.
DK nods stiffly. out written on it are wrapped around the exterior of Han's garage. Sean, Twinkie, Earl, Reiko, and a few others make their way down the street towards it. They stand outside and look through the half-open garage door. Then Sean ducks under the tape and goes inside. The others quickly follow him in. Inside, they look about the large space, now devoid of cars and motorbikes. Sean walks over to Earl as he runs down the mezzanine steps.
The cops took all the cars.
Hey! Reiko leads the group out to the back. A badly battered 2001 Nissan Skyline R34 sits rusting amongst some junk. It's Mona Lisa. Sean lifts up the bonnet. The group look down at the gleaming engine inside. Sean smiles. Later, he slides open the door of his dad's garage. Mr. Boswell stands near to Sean in the open garage doorway, and they both look in at the shell of the 1967 Ford Mustang. Sean looks over at his father in anticipation. Mr. Boswell regards his son for a moment, then throws him the car keys. Later, the Mustang is pushed into Han's garage, where the Nissan engine is carefully lowered into it. The old wheels are removed, and the chassis is welded. A new windscreen is fitted, and Sean places a carburetor in with the engine. The now roadworthy Mustang is taken for a test drive in the mountains. Sean bombs the car along the winding road. Plumes of smoke and dust rise up from the wheels, which leave a trail of tire marks across the tarmac. Back at the garage, adjustments are made. Sean examines a spark plug.
That's why she spit.
Out on the road again, the Mustang tears down the mountain, curving to a stop at the bottom, where Twinkie, Earl and the boys are waiting. They hurry over and, with Sean, do more work on the engine. At the garage, more tweaking is done, and at another test run, the drifting is noticeably smoother. The Mustang kicking up a cloud of dust as it arcs to a halt.
We almost there, Twink. Couple more tweaks.
It's not the car I'm worried about, man.
Sean eyes him.
DK picked this road for a reason. This is his mountain.
Twinkie shakes his head.
He's the only one to ever make it to the bottom.
The two men stare solemnly ahead. At the garage, the finishing touches are made to the car. The bodywork is sanded down. The gear stick is screwed into position. New alloy wheels and tires are bolted into place. The newly painted bodywork is polished. Sean and his crew stand back and admire the gleaming black Mustang, which has two thick white stripes running vertically across its bonnet, roof and boot. Night. The dark road snakes its way through a carpet of tall trees and craggy rocks on the steep mountainside. Sean stands high up on the mountain, his arms folded, staring out over the vista, inches away from a sheer drop which flattens out to form a road further down the cliff face. Elsewhere on the mountain, cars have gathered on the road beside a lake. Twinkie, Earl and the crew are stood by Twinkie's minivan. They turn as Mr. Kamata's black Mercedes pulls up next to them. A heavy opens the back door, and Mr. Kamata steps out. An unhappy-looking Neela gets out of the other side and walks around the car to him, past Sean's friend, who stare at her, unsmiling. Mr. Kamata, who's wearing a dark coat and a fedora, looks around at the crowd of young spectators. Earl presses some keys on his mobile phone. Twinkie speaks into his.
Yo, up with that.
Twinkie holds his phone out in front of him. On its screen, the dark road twists and turns at high speed, as if transmitting video footage from a fast-moving vehicle. Along the track, a number of spectators stare at their high-tech phones as they wait for the race to begin. At the start line, a sedate Sean sits in the Mustang. He glances into his wing mirror as two pairs of headlights loom out of the dark behind him. DK in his 350Z pulls up alongside him. A third car stops somewhere behind, and a grey-haired man gets out. DK looks across at Sean, hatred burning in his eyes. Sean stares straight ahead, determinedly. The grey-haired man stands in front of the cars and raises his arms into the air. He swings them down, and the cars take off. Sean and DK tear along a straight stretch of road. Wearing a look of steely resolve, DK overtakes Sean and drifts around a hairpin bend. Sean follows suit, his eyes wide as the Mustang's bumper skirts the edge of the road. DK sneers as he notices Sean gaining on him. The crowd of spectators watch their mobiles in a mixture of excitement and concern. Neela fidgets anxiously. Mr. Kamata pops a large cigar into his mouth. Sean follows close behind DK, showers of sparks emitting from under their cars as they propel themselves forwards. DK puts his foot down as he approaches another bend. The 350Z curves gracefully around the right-hand bend, then almost immediately drifts around the left. Sean struggles as the Mustang veers too close to the edge of the road, its back bumper skimming over the top of the precipice. He regains control and remains hot on DK's tail. DK bares his teeth in a grimace as Sean closes in on him. Spinning around another bend, DK loses control and careers into a parked car. With Sean now in the lead, DK sets off again. Mr. Kamata watches on with interest. Neela wears a faint look of relief. DK draws up alongside Sean. He slams the 350Z into the Mustang in an attempt to push Sean off the road. DK, his features contorted in rage, hurtles past Sean. The 350Z skidding about the road as he drifts through more bends. Twinkie and the crew watch the action on their phones in frustration. DK and Sean zigzag around another set of bends, DK's driving becoming maniacal as he swerves all over the road. Sean furrows his brow in concentration as he tails DK. Coming out of another bend, he tries to overtake the 350Z, but DK cuts in front of him. The two cars drift in perfect synchronization around another bend. Overtaking DK, Sean presses his foot down hard on the accelerator and tears off ahead. Sean leads DK around a corner, the steep incline of the mountain on one side of the road, a sheer drop on the other. The Mustang and the 350Z hurtle along at breakneck speed, leaving clouds of smoke and dust in their wake. His handsome face screwed up in fury. DK swerves into the back of the Mustang, almost forcing Sean over the edge. Sean gapes in fear as he struggles to keep the car on the road. DK slams into Sean once more, and then again repeatedly. The Mustang is pushed around so that it's sideways on. The 350Z pushes at his speed towards the edge of the cliff, seeing the sheer drop up ahead of him. Sean puts his foot down. He spins the Mustang round just in time as DK races off along the track. Catching up with them again, Sean slams the Mustang into the 350Z. Sean slams the Mustang into the 350Z once more, then presses down on the accelerator and moves ahead. DK retaliates and smashes into the back of him. DK drives up a bank on one side of the road. As he propels the 350Z forwards, the rear spoiler breaks off and hurtles towards the Mustang. It bounces off the windshield, cracking the glass. The Mustang powers forwards, his teeth bared. DK pushes the 350Z to its limits as he tries to gain back the lead from his adversary. Sean struggles to keep control as they curve around another bend. DK smashes into him. As they fly down the road at high speed, DK steps on the brakes. He loses control and the 350Z is sent into a spin. It tumbles over the edge of the cliff. The Mustang hurtles along the last stretch of road to the finish. Sean's eyes suddenly widen as the 350Z nosedives onto the road in front of him. He expertly swerves the Mustang around it, clearing the 350Z's path before it crashes down onto its bonnet. Sean skids to a halt, a look of triumph on his face. Sean is immediately surrounded by a jubilant crowd. Others run over to help DK out of his wreck. Mr. Kamata and his heavies watch as Neela hurries off. She runs over to Sean and stares up at him lovingly. Sean gazes down at her with a smile. Their smiles fade as they turn and see Mr. Kamata and his two heavies walking slowly towards them. Mr. Kamata stops in front of the couple and stares intently at Neela, who looks back steadily at him, trying to maintain her composure. Mr. Kamata moves his gaze to Sean, who stares back expectantly.
Why that you are Jude?
He says, "You're free to go." He nods at the couple solemnly, then turns and walks away. At the car park, a couple of attractive girls in skimpy outfits fawn over a blue Mazda RX-8 as its owner works on its engine. Young people throw their arms in the air as they dance. Twinkie sells trainers to a group of pretty girls. Twinkie makes his way over to Sean, who's standing talking to Neela.
Hey, yo, sir! Yo, sir! Hey, check this out, man. This dude over here wanna race the new DK. Heard he's been beating everybody around Asia, too.
Not tonight, Twinkie.
Twinkie's face falls. He swallows.
Said he knew, huh?
Sean turns away from Neela and gazes downwards, winded. He looks at Twinkie.
Said Han was family.
Sean licks his lips and looks away thoughtfully, watched on by his friends. He turns to Neela, who smiles at him encouragingly. Sean grins. He looks at Twinkie and nods.
All right. Let's race.
Sean rolls his Nissan Skyline slowly through the car park, passing more scantily clad beauties. A large grey American muscle car is already waiting at the starting line. Sean pulls up beside it and looks in at the bald, ruggedly handsome 30-something male sitting in the driver's seat. The man, Dominic Toretto, turns to Sean. Sean nods to him.
Nice ride.
I won it for my friend Han a few years ago.
Sean smiles.
I didn't know he was into American Muscle.
He was when he was rolling with me.
Sean raises his brows.
You know this ain't no 10-second race.
I got nothing but time.
Sean looks steadily at Dom, who grins.
You ready, kid?
Sean smiles and licks his lips. Neela walks out of the crowd and stands in front of the two cars. The crowd clap and cheer excitedly. Neela points at a girl.
Ready!
She then points at a second girl.
Take off!
Dom stares determinedly ahead. Neela smiles. ITFC audio description was read by Matthew Vickers.